Listen, I'm delighted to have Pastor Bob and Debbie Mark with Snyder. Are you both ministering tonight? All right. Tag team between the two of them. And I know it's going to be good. I know they've got a word for us. And I tell you what, whoever we bring in here, I don't let anybody come behind this pulpit. I know the ones I bring in are hearing God, they're following God, they're sold out to God, and have a word from God. So stand to your feet with me tonight and welcome Pastor Bob and Debbie Hart.
Came out just from an amazing time at Lexington, right?
Yes.
If you weren't able to be there, I strongly encourage you to listen to those messages because they were life-changing. They were all life-altering in every aspect. You know, that's what's so unique about those conferences is that we get to see the gospel preached to us, but with a different perspective. Each one of those people had it in this. In the morning sessions, each one had a different, you know, perspective. And in the evening sessions, each one had a different perspective that they brought it forth to minister to us. God sets it up like that because he cares so much for each one of us that he wants to make sure we get everything out of it when the word's being preached so it can reach into our hearts and change our lives. Holy Spirit is so kind to us, so in love with us that he desires us to be ministered to.
Yeah.
You know, you might be sitting there and get something totally different than someone else got. I've seen that happen so many times. Just totally different because it was meant for you.
It's loud.
Are you too loud?
Hello. I'm good. All right.
He just got, he never can hear himself being loud because he never is loud. I'm always telling him, speak up. Speak up. Project your voice. Speak up.
I'm just a quiet person.
Oh.
Unlike some people that live with me.
Well, somebody's got to let things be known.
We go to places. I often go to places where God has moved. And I can still feel that anointing. I know that. Some people don't agree with that, don't believe it. I know it's an Old Testament concept where they used to build memorials to when God, they encountered God. Whenever they encountered God, they built memorials to that.
Yes.
And I mean, in our area, there's a place right there close to us called Lily Chapel. Well, it's not there anymore. But back in the 70s, it was a really powerful place that God moved. The pastor retired and the church sold, and as a church there was still, but it's not called Lily Chapel anymore. And then there's another place, it was in Morton. You drive into Morton on I-74, and on this roof of this barn says Jesus Barn. I saw two angels there when I was there one time for worship. John Michael Taubman was doing worship. I closed my eyes, opened my eyes, and I saw the angels in the room ministering to the people. It wasn't the first time I'd seen angels when I was about 10 years old, 11 years old, living in the place I was living in. My mom and dad were always fighting, arguing, divorce, this, that, and the other. And I got woke up probably by that noise that night, and I opened my eyes, and there was my angel over me. I quick, you know, 10 years old, you thought it's a ghost, I'm getting him. But then I put my cover back down, and he was gone. But, you know, those type of places. Then there's another place, it's called the Crib. It was a barn out in the middle of a field where a bunch of young Jesus freaks started gathering, and a gentleman built a church out of it, basically called Sunshine. And those were just places there. And then right here in Kentucky, not that far, is Cane Ridge, you know, where God moved mightily in the Presbyterian Baptist arena and brought the Holy Ghost into the setting and created a movement across the Midwest and across called the Restoration Movement. You know, like I said, in the past, in the Old Testament, they would resurrect monuments to that kind of stuff. We don't do that anymore because the monuments are not resurrected in us. Mm-hmm. And so when we're going places and we feel the impact. I mean, if you were at the conference this week, there's no way you could walk away feeling the impact of it. And if you watch the videos, it'd be a little bit different maybe, but not any of you experienced it firsthand, you're going to remember what went on in that place all week long. It was powerful. I mean, Diane preached just before we did on Friday, and I thought, well, we don't even have to preach now. It was great.
God moved. You know, it was amazing. I just can't stress it enough. Every one of the things were amazing because there was something for everyone to receive. People were ministered to, lives were touched and changed. God desires. You know, sometimes we are kind of in the same boat that you are with not having live worship, you know. And I used to complain about that, you know. We don't have live worship, you know. We're never going to get live worship. You know, we sow seeds and all that stuff. But yet, I realized as I was sitting there just now, the Spirit of God doesn't care if you have live worship. We have some really high, talented worship every week at our church.
You know, just big names, all the big names, just like you.
Yeah, you just had Brandon Lake here. You had Brandon Lake here. So it was like the Lord just spoke to me. You are responsible for receiving the presence. You're responsible for reaching out and grabbing the presence of God. You know, it's wonderful. I love live worship. But it's wonderful that we can worship the way we do even and still feel the presence of God. God is here wherever two or more are gathered. He's here in our presence in order to minister to us, to touch each one of us. Each one of us has something that God wants to get to us tonight. Every time we gather, He wants to get something to you. Yeah. Something that's going to touch your heart, help you grow, open your eyes about something, reveal something to you, give you, you know, new revelation. All those different things He wants to do for you because He loves you personally. Sometimes I think we get in. I love the group. I love the camaraderie. I love the community of gathering like this. But I also love the fact that He, even when I'm in the midst of a group, He still is wanting to get something to me. To me personally, because He loves that meeting.
All
much.
Of those that I just listened were for seasons. Last week was a season, and this week has been a season in our lives. And seasons, they come and they go, don't they? Like you, your guys' weather doesn't differ much from ours. Sometimes a little bit colder in the winter, but a little warmer. It's colder in the winter up there, maybe. Or last year, you had a rougher winter than we did in Illinois, which was great. I loved it.
But keep it like that.
But those seasons are physically gone. They're physically gone, but we can still hear them. We can still sense them. We know we experience them, and that's what should never leave us.
Like, do you remember when you first got saved? Do you remember that how you felt and stuff? We were overwhelmed. You know.
Tell me about yourself. Well, let me explain this to you. Pre to that night. In our home, back when I was a senior in high school, and we worked at Savior Shake, and that's where we met. And then we had a couple of Jesus freaks working with us, and they were always talking. So one night I had worked the curb with Chuck Needham, who was one of the Jesus freaks, and I said, "He's talking about Jesus." Well, okay, well, just tell me. He led me through a sinner's prayer, and I gave my life to the Lord. And that next morning, I took all the tips I had made the night before and went and bought my first Bible. So Deb and I are dating, and I get up the next day, and I come over to her house, and I'm looking through the, open up the zipper Bible I had. I know where to start. You don't know where to start when you get a Bible, do you? And she said, "Oh," she kissed me on the ear, and she said, "Oh, you know, that's pretty nice. You want that, or would you rather have me?" So I put the Bible aside. You're gonna put it like that, hey, you know. But what I'm saying is, and then in our home in 1970,
he's facing mistakes too. So don't let him fool you. I wasn't saved.
We weren't. No,
I wasn't
no,
saved.
No.
And I did not come from any kind of religious background. I think in my whole entire childhood,
I still like the story the way I tell it.
Like I don't. In my whole entire childhood, I probably went to church twice. You know, I mean, but my parents were good parents. They loved us. They cared for us. They took care of us. But we didn't go to church. I didn't know anything about it. And then when he come in with that Bible, he was acting like he was so, I don't know, so changed or so, you know.
I was changed. I gave my life to the Lord.
Holier than thou or something. I mean, just think for a second. My opinion or my, you know, understanding of Christianity came into the restaurants on Sunday nights.
Yes.
They were what we call holy rollers.
That's right.
They let their children run wild. They were rude.
Yes.
And they would leave tips like a trap.
Yes.
Right.
They would, you know, and they would be so demanding. I'm not saying any of us are, but that's what my, when I was a teenager, that's my, what I saw of religion.
That's right.
They were rude. They did, they, you know, they were demanding. And if you mess up something, oh my gosh. I spilled a shake once on some guy. Honestly, I didn't do it on purpose. I thought about it, but I really, afterwards I thought, did I do that on purpose? Because he was so mean. But he reamed me. I ended up in tears, you know. That was my association of Christianity. I thought, if that's what being a Christian is like, I don't want anything to do with it.
But we got saved in our home in 1979 watching PTL Club, Jim Baker. Some people say, well, I don't know if you got saved or not yet then. So it's
Jim and Jamie Baker.
Yeah, but that's where it's, the journey started for us. And then,
so don't tell me there's not seed. When people start, you know, screwing up, making mistakes, not doing what they should do, there's still seed there.
That's right.
We are seed of that ministry. And, you know, and I'm not ashamed to say, I used to be kind of like, oh, I don't know if I want to tell people that I got saved watching Jim and Tammy Baker, you know. But now I understand. They planted good seed in us. Yeah. What happened with them, you know, still, it affects us because it grieved us, you know, that things, you know, went awry for a while. But it's still, we are seed of that. So don't ever put down or, you know, where you've been or what you've come through, don't ever let the enemy fool you into thinking that you shouldn't share that. We heard testimonies, haven't we? This past week, we've heard testimonies that build everybody's faith up, that make you understand. That was a testimony about the finances for you, because it's happening now. You know, we always talk about, you know, revival coming up. It's now, and it's now for you guys. That was just a sign from God that it's now. He's given you everything you need now to get that move. And, you know, them needing their youth was in line with what God's plan is. Yeah, exactly.
You've gone through a season, like we went through seasons in our church also. And we have to remember, life is about seasons. And as you go through the season, you can take away from it what you want. I joke about now that moment in time when we were dating, but it was a season that God uses now to speak to other people's lives even sometimes.
Yeah, because so you could be really mean, you know, and still get into the kingdom of God, like I was. You want that or me?
My wife has a chance to get in.
You're right. Yeah. You know, and the title of this message is Seasons, because we all experience them. And we need to take away from them when God speaks to us. We need to take away from them the impact that it has on our lives. We've journeyed, I mean, we've been saved for 40, since 79, how long is that? 45 years, something like that? 46 years, and how many years is that? But and we've been in the ministry 46 years and 43 years of ministry. And those seasons, even in our ministry time, there's been seasons, tough times, rough times to get through. And that's true of everything. But what we want to look at is, what is God doing now in our lives? Because what he's doing now is what's going to take us through the next season of our lives. And Isaiah, go ahead.
Everything we learn and study, like the conference from this week. The conference from this week had so many seeds that can be planted in your spirit in order to minister to you, to draw you into a new season. We talk about season, but really every day his mercies are new and fresh. And we should be expecting a change in our life every single day. Holy Spirit wants to change us. He wants to grow us up in him. He wants us to realize our calling more clearly. And every one of you sitting in here tonight has a calling. Every single one of you has a thing that God wants to do in you and do through you, because you have a gift. He created you in his image in a manner in order to reach a portion of this population that nobody else can. That you have the assignment for. You have the assignment to reach people, and within your reach, you have that assignment, and he desires for you to grow in that and understand and have confidence. I think I think a lot of the, you know, the messages that we heard were confidence building for me. Made really, you know, say, yeah, I can do that. I can overcome that. I can see this. I can hear from God. I can, you know, speak the word. All of these different things. I could just, almost at one point, I felt like I could just hear, you know, all different kinds of voices saying those things when people were preaching. They were receiving it. As they were sitting there, they were receiving. Yes, I can. I can do it. I can do it. I'm not a failure. All these, and I don't think it was me. I don't think it was me, but I could hear those voices saying all of those things. I'm not. I can. You know, we get so comfortable in the things that we say in ministry, even, or in our daily lives. I can't do that. I can't do that. And I keep saying to our people, that should be a four-letter word for you. A bad four-letter word. A dirty four-letter
word. Should five letters. I can't.
The word.
Yeah. But it should be a cuss word. Because when you say that,
that's
you're coming against the word of God because he says you can.
I'm just saying. A lot of times when a church goes through what you've gone through, people say, I'm done. I'm out of here. I'll go somewhere else. As soon as
you've got
someone.
Not these people.
No, don't. I can do this. You know, I've been doing this for a long time. Anyway, but in Isaiah chapter 60.
Okay.
Have you ever seen a couple fight in the pulpit? We did a marriage conference. We were teaching a marriage class one time at church where associate pastor was at. And we wanted to teach on having a fair fight. And so we went into the morning saying, okay, here's what we're going to do. So we came in and started as a little bitty one. I'm going to just back and forth. And then it sort of escalated a little bit and kept going back, escalated a little bit.
And
people's eyes would get really big. And there's a guy sitting back about three rows back. He said, man, I thought I was going to have to go up there and break you guys up. And when we started laughing and letting them know, we'd just gone through that to show them in disagreements, you don't have to get nasty with it. You can have a disagreement with all that. Anyway. Here's the deal. Churches collapse sometimes because, but here in Isaiah chapter 6, it says this, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It's our turn to have those moments.
Yes.
It's our time to have moments like they've had throughout history in the kingdom.
It says, arise, shine, your light has come. Your light.
Exactly.
The illumination upon your life and the word that's been planted in your life is going to come to fruition now, because the thing that he planted inside of you is about to just explode.
See,
like fireworks.
You foiled the enemy's plan. He says, "I can break this church up." You've had a good pastor from day one. A great pastor from day one, and the other thing, I can tear this up, I can bust this down. And he said, and you guys have said, no, this is our time, this is our turn, and we're going to see this through because God's got a plan. God saw long before they asked you to leave the other building that it was going to happen, and God has also seen where you're going.
Yes.
You just haven't got there yet, but it's your time. It's your time now. And that's what God is lining up the pathway for you with the money that's come in, with the fact that you need to move out of here now. Now he's the door is going to come. It's going to open.
Yeah.
It's like with us, with our building, our property. It's great.
Yes.
Right, Diana, it's 5 acres, 3 buildings, dead people in the backyard, that kind of stuff.
Cemetery.
Oh, that's right. It's a cemetery. It's a cemetery.
Cemetery regulations and all of this stuff, and we are totally in care of that cemetery. And it took a while for me to really understand. It was kind of daunting at first. It's like, whoa, they have to be buried so far apart. We have to call the grave. You know, people are calling me from funerals. Well, we have this person that's in your cemetery. They have a plot, and they just passed away. And so I have to call the grave digger. And I thought, I wonder what the grave digger looks like, because I've watched too many horror movies, you know. It's nothing like that. Sorry, I got off track. for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you. Do you understand how personal the word is all through the word? He will arise over you, over you, over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The glory will be seen upon you. People will be able to see the glory upon you. If it's on you, they're going to be able to see it, right?
Amen.
Quit allowing yourself to be minimized, however you want to put it, that you don't carry what you think. It says, is God a liar?
No.
And is his word always true?
Yes.
And it says, I read the word every day now, I read the word more personally. I really take it more personally. I thought, I haven't been understanding this as personally to me. The Lord will arise over me, and his glory will be seen upon me. People will see the glory of God on you when you allow them to. When you allow it to flow freely through you, people will see it. They will understand there's something different about you. I used to think I had a sign on my head or something. I'd be in the grocery store, and somebody would just come up and start pouring out their heart to me, And I realized somebody told me, that's the anointing, that's the glory of God, drawing people, because people you don't even know will come to you. And it's a blessing to understand that he's using you like that. All of a sudden, you've got this opportunity to share the love of God, because the glory is all showing on you. People, I believe in these last days, Pastor Jack teaches you constantly about the glory, the glory. I believe in these last days, it is going to be so visible on people that have learned it, like people that have gotten it from Pastor Jack and reading the word and understanding who they are. They are going to be the ones that just people, who was it that walked through the factory and people fell out?
Charles Finney.
I believe that we're going to see things like that. Because the glory of the Lord is going to fall upon us because we're ready for it. We're ready for it, and we're seeking it, and we're believing it, and we're receiving it. It's ours. It says it all through the word. It's ours. If we draw closer to him, he'll draw close to us. And his glory will be revealed in these last days through his people. People will fall out being in your presence.
Yeah.
I believe that can happen.
We just have to be bold. We have to be... Think about this. We look at the disciples as great men of God, don't we? Because we're looking at it historically. We're looking at the afterwards. But if we realize that they were nothing more than us, that's it. They were us. They had to become bold. They had to step forth in what they knew God was telling them to do and do it. And once they did it the first time, it became easier the next time. You know, if you think about Paul got pretty well beat down, didn't he? But Paul just kept coming back and coming back. They couldn't get rid of Paul. No matter how they tried to harm him, he kept coming back. You know, it says in here, it says also in verse 3, it says, the Gentiles should come to your light. They're coming to your light. Why? Your light is Jesus.
Yeah.
And because Jesus is so strong in you, the Gentiles, the unsaved, they got to come to you. Because darkness is encompassing our world greater than ever before. I'll be 73 this year in November, and I've never seen a time such as this. And I like history. And I know there's been bad times in history before, and the Dark Ages, all that kind of stuff. Because the Dark Ages happened because the Bible was taken away. The thing is that we've got what they didn't have in the Dark Ages, and we're still going to be in the dark times.
Our light will shine forth through and pierce any darkness.
Yes.
Anything. You know, we do see a lot of stuff going on, right? Who would have ever thunk that you would see schools of supplying litter boxes? And who would have ever believed that could happen? Who would have ever believed that people would be so confused about who they are? They were made in the image of God, male and female, they were made. And people would be confused about that. Who would have ever thought that could happen? But yet the light still shines, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In these last days, it's not going to be all doom and gloom for us. No. Because our light is going to be rising up more and more and more brighter, right? The glory is going to shine through us. His glorious church is going to arise and do what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Shine his light, right?
Lift up your eyes all around and see. They are all gathered together and they come to you. Come to you. They're coming to this church.
Yes.
When God resurrects this to your place that you're always supposed to be in at, think about that. I pull into our property and I realize my mom and my aunt at 9 and 8 years old gave their lives to the Lord.
And his mom's 93.
My mom's 93 in November. God put his hand on that property for our ministry when she was 9.
She gave her life in that building.
She gave their life in that building, exactly.
Yes.
In the very building, at the altar where we preach every Sunday. God laid his hand on it then. He had other people caretaking until we got there, until we could get there. And what we're going to do with it is, it just, when God had a piece of, has had a piece of property for Grace Fellowship of Georgetown from day one. And all the other places till then had just been stepping stones to get you to where he's always planning
right,
to be.
That's right.
And when he hands that,
yeah.
And when he hands that over to you, it's going to be like, yes, this is what we've always had. Goes on to say this. It says, and your sons and your daughters will come from afar. Your daughters shall be nursed at your side, and then you shall see and become vacant, and then you will see and become radiant.
That's what the glory does.
Yes. Radiates.
It radiates beauty. It radiates the love of God from you. The glory is a tangible experience, I believe. You walked in the glory for what?
2 weeks.
And what was the main experience? Love that he experienced from that, because the glory of the Lord. The Lord wants his people to reach out to those that don't know anything about the love of God. They don't know it. And he's giving us, going to be giving us this tool that we can exercise to reach people, to have boldness when we didn't think we could, to be that lion of Judah. What does that song say? You got a lion inside your lungs. I love that song.
I got healed bronchitis in that song.
Yeah.
Amen. That line right there, and it's like, you know, wait a minute. They come back around and say, wait a minute. I'm breaking this bronchitis off. I couldn't hardly talk without coughing. And I just shouted it out, and it was gone. It's gone. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Okay, I'm sorry. Oh,
yeah. Then you shall see and become radiant. That's what I'm talking about. People are going to look at your face and realize, man, there's something going wrong with them. I really think it's going to be so supernatural that people are going to be in awe of it. They're going to be like, whoa, what is that? Who just walked by? Was that a king that just walked by? You know, or a queen? You know, who was that? I believe it's going to be that tangible.
Yes.
Because the glory of God is amazing. And then it goes on to say, and your heart shall swell with joy. Ha! Your heart will swell with joy. Because you're in the glory of God and you're ministering to people. Because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. All of these different things are because of the glory of God rising up in you. And you being receptive to it and walking in it. And realizing it's not some far-fetched, far-flung idea. This is the Word of God talking to you and telling you what is about to happen in these last days to his church.
Yes.
His church is going to be victorious. His
yes.
church is going to reign over all these things. His church is going to be the law enforcement. His church is going to be in every area of civilization. His church is going to dominate
yes.
as the glory comes in, right?
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
If I'm off track in any way, you correct me, Pastor Jack. But I believe the glory is going to allow us to understand and to rule and reign as kings and priests like we're supposed to. And what do kings and priests do? They rule by just their words, right? They give a command and it happens. You give a command and it will happen. You decree it and it will happen. That's where you're going to get into the knowledge of the glory of God. When you start understanding that that is yours. It's not for some pastor, preacher, teacher, evangelist. It's for you.
Yes.
It's for every born-again believer.
Yes.
In Ephesians chapter 4 tells us, as pastors, what our responsibility is to train you to do your work of ministry. That's our job. It's not about the pastor being, it's about us as the body moving collectively through the world, changing the world. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, a message says, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue things over which Christ presides. We're to do what we're supposed to. We're supposed to act like we are somebody. Because in Christ Jesus, we are. You know, I'm just Bob Martin when it's just me. I mean, if I was just Bob, and I really, as a person, I can't say like that, I get in trouble. But I know
he's
that
because cool, his name spells the name way front or that backwards.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good name, isn't it? I also found out the name Robert was like a really good.
I forgot what he said. Pastor Daniel named their baby.
Theo Robert. Theo Robert.
And he told us what Robert meant, and I forgot what he said.
He said. I don't think it said that.
I like the way the message, no, the message puts it, because it speaks to me. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. How many times have you done that?
Look up.
You got involved in a circumstance instead of what the word says about the situation.
The enemy thought he had you.
The
enemy thought he had you. How long have you been out of the other building? A year? He thought he had you. We got to pack everything up. We got to move everything out. What do we do now? Then he thought he had you. He didn't have you. All he did was he screwed up because he lit a flame that he can't put out.
Yes, that's right.
He sparked something that he cannot put out.
Right. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground. Absorb with the things right in front of you. Don't let those stinking circumstances sway you. Don't let what's going on in your life sway you. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the glory of God. Keep your eyes on what's ahead, not behind. You know, your past was 2 hours ago. Your past was an hour ago. Let it go. You have no past. No matter. Don't sing, please. No matter what. That's what he says to me all the time. Don't sing. Be alert to what's going on around you. Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Not your perspective. From his perspective. He will give you the gifts. That, you know, he will equip you. He will make sure you're fit. We just read that in Thessalonians the other day. He will make you fit. He will make you fit. You know, it depends on you receiving it and doing the work to get there. But he will make you fit to do it. He will equip you to do exactly what you need to do. He will equip you to get the job done. He will equip you to show forth the glory of God. Yes. If you will allow him to. Because that's what he desires. I can't wait to see when you look out. It's coming. When you look out at your congregation and you see the glory of God over each and every one of them. The glory of God radiating through them. And they'll be full of love. They'll love like they've never loved before. A love that is incomprehensible to us at times. Because we're learning to love like God loves. An agape love. We're learning to do that when the glory of the Lord falls upon us.
Yes.
You have to fix your mind. Yep. What does that mean? You have to cast down thoughts.
You missed one.
Okay. Go to it, back to it.
It's okay.
No. Now they think we're back to in this.
Your stuff. Old life is dead. Your new life. Now, I know we think that's just when you get born again. That was my old life. I've lived my new life. How long have a lot of you? Has anybody been saved over 50 years? 40 years? 30 years? 20 years? 10 years? 5 days? Right? Right. Hallelujah. Your old life is dead. But that doesn't mean the day you got saved again. You got saved. It doesn't mean that. It means every day his mercies are new and fresh. It means every day your new life, your life is new and fresh. Every day your life is new and fresh. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, this is the message, shows up again on this earth, he'll show up too. The real you, the glorious you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. Be content wherever you're at. And just know that that is all coming to you. And it's coming fast. It's coming fast. I mean, you don't have to be a super theologian or, you know, all you have to do is look around and see that these are the end times. And that we have been called to help get people back on the boat. I have a ticket in my office that Pastor Jack preached a sermon, and it was a big red ticket that I got, you know, about, huh?
motorboat.
Oh, don't be looking under here. He's going to say he stole something out of his mess.
Well, I just said it was his. And I think about that. I've got that ticket, but I haven't stepped aboard yet. I have to step aboard. I have to receive that ticket and move into what he's called me to do. There's so many of us that are going through life, you know, with our head down, you know, thinking about our past sometimes and not really realizing that every day we're supposed to be stepping forward further. Every day we're supposed to be progressing to a new walk, to a new level in our walk, I'm sorry, to a new glory of our walk, right? Not just getting by. I know when you're going through tough times, when you got financial, when you got bills screaming at you, we've been there, we know that stuff. You know, but you still got to keep the right perspective. You can't focus on that. When the bills are screaming, your God is screaming towards you. He's screaming, I got it. I'll help you. I'll show you the way if you ask me. I'll show you. I'll bring miraculous things to you. We heard a testimony of getting a car from Chrissy Hunter on Friday, it was, wasn't it? And that, you know, I mean, just miraculous things all the way through it, you know? And then they ended up, it was stretching them financially. And then it all worked out that they didn't even pay anything for it. They got, what is it called, gap insurance or something? They were talked into getting gap insurance, and then he hit a deer with the vehicle, and they paid for it completely.
Not as big a testimony, but we went out to eat the other night, and we a lot of times we'll just go and we'll pay for somebody's food, we'll walk through the line, make minds, go through the store, pay for it, this, that, and the other. And we're sitting there eating at Chili's. And we get done and get ready to pay, and the server, oh, I'm glad I caught you. Yours has already been paid for. We looked around. When we went in there, we didn't know anybody in there. We didn't know anybody. We looked around. We still didn't know anybody there. Well, we didn't know who it was, but I had my Vietnam veteran hat on, and what I'm assuming is
I think God just said something. I don't know if they even had to see
me. No, maybe they did, but then somebody bought our meal. And what a blessing, you know, because a lot of times you think, well, I do that all the time. I do it all the time. I never get anything back. Don't say that. Keep doing what God tells you to pay for somebody else's stuff. Pay for somebody else's stuff and realize you're planting seed for a harvest in your own life.
Yeah.
You know, we have to cast down that negativity of
thoughts
in terms of poor people and...
Tammy was the only one who did that.
Just
keep it up like that.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry.
Anyway.
You know, if something catches your eye and all of a sudden you can't get your thought off of it, you can't think about anything. Yeah, squirrel.
Anyway, we have to fix our mind. What does it mean? It means we have to cast down thoughts. We have to look at life different than those that are out in the world. And because it said that when things come at us negatively, we have to remember that we're fighting a spiritual battle. It's not a war of physical things. It's spiritual. And we already have the victory. And I'm going to drop down verse 5 that says, all right, go ahead.
It says, for although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. I was asking Pastor Jack on the way over here because he got a bayonet for his World War II rifle that was used in combat. And I asked him, you know, why a bayonet, you know, if it has, you know, ammunition in it, why a bayonet, you know? And he explained, you know, at some point in time they had like one shot in those rifles, and then they had, what did you say, 15? The one you had the bayonet on, it's a World War II gun. It has 15 rounds in it, but they have a bayonet. Because he equips them, the general or whoever it is, equipped them to fight all aspects of battle, right? We're equipped to fight all aspects of battle, just like that. You know, you can't, sometimes you couldn't get a shot off when somebody got right up close to you, so you could just knife them or bayonet them or whatever you call it, slice them. Stick it to them, whatever you call it. You know, but he, you know, just as soldiers were equipped with the proper, and now the weaponry that soldiers have, they're equipped to battle in areas we don't even know probably yet, you know, because they're progressing so much. But God does that same thing. He equips us in every single aspect. Every single aspect. You don't have to worry about not knowing scripture and verse or chapter and verse, when you have the word hidden in your heart, it will come out in a way that will minister to them.
Amen.
A lot of times it's more intimidating when you do quote chapter and verse to somebody that's never heard it. You know? I heard those people eating a steak and shake at night, quoting chapter and verse, and I thought, I wish you knew something about being nice or being kind to people, that are serving you.
But we can't, I had a situation happen before I got saved. My biological brother was a Christian, very haughty and religious. And standing out there, I talked to him one day, he's waiting for somebody, and I made a quote out of scripture. He says, "You got to get saved before you start quoting the scripture." I was like, we as Christians can't act like that. That's not demolishing the world. That's just demoting somebody's aspirations to get better and saying the right things. You know, and the rest of that, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says this, "And we can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude. When we fix our minds on the thing of God and cast down those thoughts, it gives us the ability to get beyond the restrictions of our physical life, beyond the restrictions of what we've been taught over the years." And that's some of the things that have to happen when we first get saved, is we get into the Word, and it changes us. It transforms us to where we're not thinking like we used to think. We're not talking like we used to talk. And that's the important part. You know, also what we do is we got to choose our thoughts. Anybody ever have a thought and you go, where did that come from? And then all of a sudden it sort of bugs you, sort of like the rest of the day. What did that, why? I would have never done that in the world. What that is the enemy trying to come in and mess you up. So you cast that thought down and say, you know what? I'm not going to think that. That's not who I am. Right. That's not how I live. We have to choose our thoughts. You have to change it.
Yes.
And you have to change it. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 8, in the Passion.
It says, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests. That's the key, faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. That's your daddy you're talking to. You know, some people get so caught up in how they pray or whatever. Talk to your father. And I know some people have not had a good fatherly figure. This father is totally different than any earthly father. This father loves you with agape love, unconditional love. Some of us didn't even have a concept of unconditional love in our lives before. But once you got saved, you can have unconditional love in your life. You have to understand, that you can talk to him about every single detail. And like I've said before, so many times I used to sit under, teachings and stuff, and I would think, that's for them. They're strong Christians. But, everything in the Word is for every one of us.
Yeah.
Everything in the Word is for every one of us. It's not just somebody that's been a Christian for 50 years and has and knows the Word and knows how to operate in the Word and stuff. No, you have that same capability. You just have to reach for it and grab it and take it as yours.
And I know you've heard this over and over and over again, right? But repetition is one of the best learning tools we have. Pastor Jack's taking apart a pinball machine, deeper than he's ever done before, I think is what he said, right? And so he's taking pictures along the way to remind himself of how it goes back together. Well, the next time...
Have you ever seen the inside of one of those things? Oh, my gosh. He knows where every one of those teeny tiny wires goes. And there's a million of them. Well, maybe not quite a million, but there's a lot. Huh?
2 miles.
2 miles of wires in there. And he knows where every single one of them needs to go and stuff.
But he's taking pictures along the way now because he's never done it like this before. Well, the next time he will, he may use pictures next time, but he may not have to. Why? Because it's repetition to him now, and he will have learned what he needs to do. We have to do what we know, what we've learned. When we come to changing our thoughts, we have to do what we've learned. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9 says, "Follow the example of all that we have pardon to you, and the God of peace will be with you through all things." Yeah. You know, a lot
do
of times, yeah, do it.
Do what you've learned. Like I said, this back. I mean, just, if you just need a little spiritual boost, go back and listen to those messages. You'll get a spiritual bump, like a bumper car. Like Pastor Jack. I mean, that was pretty cool.
he talks about the bumper car being connected to the, and you see the sparks flying and everything. That's revelation coming to you. That's all the things that God intends for you as you bump along into things, you know.
And all
we all live a human life, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes we think, oh, you're talking so spiritual about, this is all yours. This is all yours to not have to live by circumstances, to not have to live in discouragement. All those things. Get connected again. Allow God to...
Go ahead.
Don't allow a problem to become the biggest thing in your life. Worrying and struggle with it won't change anything. Not a thing. I used to really be a worrywart. I mean, you know, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? Why did you buy that? We don't have the money for this.
I won.
I just constantly worry, and then it's like, you know.
I would tell
God
you, I'm worried.
God comes through all the time. He comes through in every situation. I don't care if it's financial. I don't care if it's relationship. I know someone that has been struggling with some relationship issues within their family that have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and all of a sudden, bam. Out of clear blue sky, and you just don't even think about it. It happened. It changed. And now they're all back together. They're all, you know, where they need to be. All of a sudden, it can happen. Because we're walking and we're understanding the glory of God. And we, that's ours. It's everything that's in the Word, all the promises that are in the Word are ours for now. It's a now thing. Hallelujah.
You know what, I guess what I want to say is, a lot of times we hear a word and think, well, I've heard that preached before. I know that scripture. But I think I heard it this week, I've heard it recently. Someone said, well, do you really know the scripture? Are you practicing it? Are you not worrying anymore when you know the peace of God has been manifested to you? Are you not concerned? Are you concerned because of this or that? I know that Pastor Jack, through this whole process of this church, you know, I remember when you first moved into that church, I remember how excited he was and all that, and all of a sudden for that to change. That can take the wind out of your sails. It hasn't taken the wind out of your sails. And it hasn't taken the wind out of your sails. Why? How do I know that? Because you're here. You're staying the course, you're moving forward, and because you're here and you're staying the course and you're moving forward, what God had planned when you moved into that building, think about that. When you moved into that building, it was never meant to be forever.
That's right.
It was a stepping stone to where He planned for you. And what you have to do is we have to operate in the Word in such a way that we don't get derailed because of what we consider a problem. A misstep, being robbed. I mean, we paid a guy to remodel our kitchen, and he came in to grace. He was referred to us with a good referral, and he came in and all this. And so we decided, yeah, we're going to have him do it. We liked his personality, this, that, and the other, and we wrote out a check for half the amount. I'll tell you, $7,500. And we got rid of our refrigerator, our stove, and all this kind of stuff, you know. And then he just kept horsing around and pretty soon just walked away with our money. Mm-hmm. And we lived about 3 months where we were living in our family room downstairs, eating out of paper bags and microwaves because we had nothing anymore as far as appliances. And our house was a wreck. We didn't want to go upstairs. It was just a mess. Every time we go upstairs... And I have to say this. Here's Bob Martin, old Bob Martin. I learned a lot. God, for one thing, God teaches me a lot sometimes to how to forgive people the hard way. I'm hard-headed sometimes, I guess. Because my thought was, I know people. I take care of this guy. I know people. And I thought also, I said, you know what?
Yeah, we used to go into the prisons and stuff.
I mean, I thought, well, you know, I know where he lives. I can go where I can slit his tires. I could bust out his money. Nobody knows. I had those thoughts. I mean, I had bad thoughts. I had very bad thoughts. And the reason why I did is because I saw what his doing that to us put her in. It put us at home of depression, basically. And what God did is he turned that situation around one day Pastor Jack and Pastor Jim came up, just dropped in. I didn't know they were coming. Nobody told me they were coming. And here they are at Menards in our hometown, getting buying doors and stuff like that. I do it with my daughter. She's actually been buying the stuff. And they redid our house. They redid our kitchen.
Put a door in the bathroom,
you know. And it was just one of those things where, you know, you have to. Yeah, but you have to get through those problems, realizing God saw that coming. We didn't. We had no idea what God was going to steal from us. So then after all that, I still was struggling with this guy emotionally. I still struggled with him spiritually. And God says, I want you to sow that $7,500 into him. Because I had heard Pastor Callahan talk about one time getting a pickup truck and his mower stolen out of his driveway. And God told him to sow it. So I said, I'm going to sow it. That's it. I'm sowing it. I told her. She said, what? I
have to tell her. We did go to court. And we know that everything was in our favor. You know, he wouldn't show up. And everything was in our favor. And we got rewarded the amount. And the judge looked at us. And I didn't know this stuff happened. The judge looked at it and says, yeah, you won, but good luck getting the money.
Yeah. And he said, good news and bad news for you.
Yeah.
So
I didn't know that. I thought, if we won, we got our money back.
Yeah.
No.
So anyway, I sowed it and walked away from it.
I let go of it.
I call it seed. Mm-hmm. And when I called it seed, God rewarded us over 100-fold return for the rest of our lives. I got something I didn't realize was there for me. And it all came about after we did that. And see, the thing is, what I'm saying that for is I had to change the way I was thinking.
Right.
I had to start thinking according to what the Word said was in our availability, what God promised us. And that's what we have to do in every situation. You know, Pastor Jack was at our building. Since we started ministry, the only thing we've had is two churches in cornfields and two others by bars. We're in the cornfield or by the bar. And, you know, I guess in some cornfields you got corn liquor. I guess you got liquor all the way. But Pastor Jack was in our other building. Nice building, brick building, beautiful place, but nobody comes out in the middle of nowhere. And when we sold it and moved into the roller rink and this, that, and the other, started 10, 15 years worth of just floating around. And God brought us to where he wanted to bring us in the first place.
Yes.
When we planted the church. Where we're at today is where he intended us to be. This church here, because of your faithfulness to it and your faithfulness to God, is getting ready to explode. It's getting ready to put Georgetown, Kentucky on its ear. That's what I believe about you. Because of your faithfulness. Well, okay, let's then bring it down. What about your faithfulness within your own life? If you change your way of thinking and you change, and you don't allow yourself to get put off or put down or upset, angry, want to kill somebody, and you just sort of think the way God told you to think, believe the way God told you to believe, your world, your personal world is going to turn the world on its ear.
In Romans 12:2, finishing up, it says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. What's the culture around you? It's not just the worldly culture. It's the culture of people that don't believe like we do. People that want to, you know, impress, you know, that's not the way God operates. You've got to understand, we are a chosen people, and we are receiving word that a lot of people don't understand. Not that you be mean to anybody, but you just don't receive it. When they say, oh, wow, things are going to get bad, you know, because of this or that. Things are really going to be hard on you, you know, because of this or that. You got to stop believing and listening to the opinions of the culture around you. This is what the Word says. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes.
And in Ephesians, just close out with that. Ephesians says, Ephesians 4:22 says, and He taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man, the old self life, which is corrupted by sinfulness and deceitful desires that spring out of delusions. Now it's time to be made new and by every revelation that's been given to you. Now's the time. What is starting to come about right now, you can see the wheels rolling right now. You can see the airplane taxiing down the runway. and it's picking up speed, the engine's starting to pick up speed, you can feel it picking up speed, and all of a sudden it's going to start, and it's starting to, it's actually starting, the nose is starting to lift off right now. You're getting ready to take a flight you've never been on before.
Yes.
And it's going to be exciting, it's going to be powerful, and all of Grace Ministries is going to rejoice.
Yes.
It's going to make our place look like a bunch of dead people in the backyard.
Ours will always be
better. No, I'm just teasing. We love you. Thank you for being.